turn to Psalm 23. And looking at verse 4, and move into verse 5, but we see in verse 4 the gracious presence of God, what it does. We've seen, of course, that it removes fear. We see it's comforting. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So the means of this comfort is symbolized by the rod and the staff of the shepherd. And as we pointed out last week, we've all seen the pictures of a stick with a crook, and most people, and in some lands it's true, make that the rod and the staff. But in Palestine and Bible days, that would not have been the case. It was really two different instruments. The rod was, again, as we said last week, a 2 to 3 foot long, basically club, weighted at one end that the shepherd would carry in his belt. We see the rod speaks of many things. Again, this is illustrates all the 23rd Psalm does. We saw last week that it's a symbol of authority and rule. We see that in the Old Testament, the rod used to symbolize authority. There's much comfort in the authority and the rule of God. I don't find any comfort if God's not the authority, if God's not ruling, then we're in big trouble. So there's comfort in the authority and rule of God. The rod also, of course, speaks of protection. The shepherd would use the rod to protect and to defend the sheep. Of course, there's much comfort in that. The Lord is with us to be an authority in our life. He's with us to protect and to defend. And then we closed last week with the rod was used to number or to count. We base that if we go over to Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27. And we want to read verse 32. Speaking of the tithe, and concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock. Okay, we'll get that down to the sheep here. Even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord, or separated unto the Lord. So the shepherd would hold his rod out, the sheep would pass under that rod, and that was the way he counted the sheep. Leviticus 27, of course, if you had 100 sheep pass under the rod, you would set aside 10 for the Lord. That's the point being made in Leviticus 27. Our point is that the rod was used to number, was used to count. In John chapter 10, if we turn over there, John chapter 10, the Lord uses the analogy of the sheepfold. We'll read the first four verses and then we'll give explanation of the sheepfold. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the shepherd of the sheep, that enters by the door, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Notice his own sheep. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Okay, in Palestine, you had villages, and in those villages were sheepfolds. These sheepfolds would have been the property of native farmers, and they were walled, as is implied here in John chapter 10. At night, the shepherd would lead his sheep to the sheepfold so that the shepherd could go home and rest. He would leave his sheep in this sheepfold where they would be protected. Again, it's walled. It doesn't tell us here. Here we see the shepherd is going back for the sheep, bringing them out of the sheepfold. But at evening, when he would bring his sheep to the sheepfold, again, he would use that rod, count his sheep as they go in. He knows how many sheep he has left in that sheepfold. Now, Christ is in verse 3. The porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. So here the shepherd has returned the next day, and he's going to lead his sheep out. And he goes, he knocks on the door. Again, thieves and robbers, they would try to climb the walls to steal sheep. But the shepherd had no reason to climb the walls. He would just go knock on the door, and the porter would open. And again, he would call his sheep, and he would hold that rod out as the sheep passed under the rod, and he would know how many sheep he had. The point of that is every single day, the shepherd, more than once, he would do it also out in the pasture on several different occasions, he would use this rod to count his sheep. The rod speaks of his awareness of the sheep. That's comforting. That's comforting. The Lord, as our shepherd, is always aware where his sheep are. He's always aware. John chapter 10, verse 14. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. I am the good shepherd. I am aware. I know my sheep. I am aware of my sheep. But this aspect of the rod, again, he's counting his sheep. I have 58 sheep or whatever. Speaks of possession. Speaks of ownership. He knows how many sheep he owns. And the very opening words of Psalm 23 reveal that David, who was a shepherd, recognized himself as the property of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. He's saying, I am the property of the Lord. The Lord owns me. The Lord knows me, and he owns me. I am the property of the Lord. That is always so. You and I are always the property of the Lord. That's true of all of creation in a general sense. All of creation belongs to him because he created them. He's the owner. But in a very special sense, the sheep are his property. They are his property for several reasons. They are his property because God the Father gave them to him. They are his by gift. His by gift of the Father. Notice John chapter 6, all familiar verses here. Very, very plain verses. Verses that a lot of people try to spend a lot of time trying to explain away, or they just don't see what it says. It says, all that the Father giveth me. Well, I would want to know who this all is. because the Father gives them to Christ. Most will say, well, that refers to everyone. Well, that doesn't fit. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Does everyone come to Christ? No. So it can't refer to everyone. Well, they're given the chance to come to me. That's not what it says. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, those given to him, I will in no wise cast out. Again, it can be said that anyone who comes to Christ will not be turned away. That's true. The only ones coming are those given to him. No one else is coming. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine will, but the will of him that sent me. And now he's going to, so we're not just left to wonder what God's will is that he came to do, and this is the Father's will which has sent me. Well, that's pretty plain. This is, and he's going to tell us that all which he hath given me. So now twice we see this, all which are given to Christ are referred to. All which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. I'm not going to lose a single one. This is the Father's will, and that will cannot be defeated, but should raise it up again at the last day. My point is, twice we see the Father gave a people to Christ. Those people, even before they come, are the property of the Lord. They cannot die before they come, because they're all going to come, every single one. Then notice, if we go over to John chapter 10, John 10, verse 29. Well, let's go back to verse 27. My sheep, again, that's ownership. My sheep, hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them, who? My sheep. I give unto them eternal life. It's a gift. I give unto them eternal life. And they, my sheep, whom I give eternal life to, shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me. There it is again. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Again, we are his because we have been given to Jesus Christ. Then, of course, that becomes even more clear in John chapter 17. Jesus about to go to the cross, and six times he refers to these individuals that were given to him of the Father. And he's praying. He's praying for them. In verse 2, he says, thou hast given him power over all flesh. Christ has authority over all flesh, sheep and goats. That he needs power over all things if he's going to do this, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. How many is Jesus Christ going to save? As many as thou hast given to him. That's pretty plain. He came to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Once again, Father gave a people to Jesus Christ. Verse 6. I have manifest, I got a hole in that page right there, can't even see the word. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. We were in the world. Christ chose us the Father chose us and gave us to Christ. Verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. That's pretty plain. Well, he didn't mean what he was saying. Well, you tell me what he meant then. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. They're his, God the Father. You don't have the authority to give away something that you don't own. That would be criminal. God the Father owns them, and he gave them to Christ. And Christ said, I pray for them. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Again, those whom thou hast given me. Verse 12. While I was with them, the them referring to those given to him, in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Again, given to Christ. Verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. So, Christ here is praying, Father, I will. His will cannot be thwarted either. I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me. So without a doubt, there is a people given to Christ. They are pictured in the New Testament as the sheep. They are not goats that are transformed into sheep. They are sheep. They've always been sheep. They were lost sheep. Now they're saved sheep. It's the only two kind of sheep that are out there. There's lost sheep. There's saved sheep. All whom have been given to Christ that are not yet saved, they are lost sheep. And as we've said before, the unsaved are not lost. They're condemned. There's a difference. The only ones that are lost are the sheep, those whom the Father gave. So we are His by gift. God the Father gave us to Christ. Again, the rod is used to number or to count. We are also His by purchase. John chapter 10. And verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. For the sheep. Those are the ones that are given to Christ. So he gives his life for us. We are his by gift. We are his by purchase. We are also His by inheritance. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, this is Paul praying, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Christ's inheritance in the saints. The saints are the sanctified, those who have been set apart for Him. He has an inheritance in them. So the rod speaks of authority. The rod speaks of protection and defense. The rod speaks of numbering or ownership. We belong to Him. There is great comfort in that. Notice, with regards to that, in Psalm 79, Psalm 79, verse 13. So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, thy people, sheep of thy pasture. There's comfort in knowing that we belong to him. Psalm 95, verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. We belong to him. We are his property. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. That's a good thing to know. He is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Three times we see now that we are the sheep of his pasture, which is the best pasture that there is. We are his sheep. Romans chapter 14 and verse 8. Romans 14, verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, and everything in between, we are the Lord's. We are the Lord's. We belong to him. It's something we must always keep in mind. We belong to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, very familiar verse of Scripture, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. We see that we are bought with price. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? The Holy Ghost is in us. So Brother Kevin was just talking about, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. We need to have that truth engraved in our heart. We are not our own. Then he goes on, he states a reason. For we are bought with a price. We are bought with a price. May I say it's a price that only Christ could pay. Therefore, because we are not our own, because we are bought with a price, glorify God in your body, which would be our external, and in your spirit, which is the internal, which are God's. So we're reminded again, which are God's. Our body belongs to him. Again, we've said it many times. All these people that say, it's my body, I can do with it what I want. I can do with it what I want is based on a false premise. That false premise is, it's your body. That's not so. It's his. And it's his even if you're not saved, because he created it. It's his. It's never yours. It's his. So this aspect of the rod is of great comfort. The rod also was used to examine the sheep. The shepherd would examine the sheep for parasites, sores or scabs. He would take that rod and just kind of go up the back, turning up the wool, and he could examine the sheep to see if there were any problems with the sheep. If a sore is forming, then he could address that matter. There were parasites, whatever. But he would use it to examine the sheep. They're his sheep. He has a right to examine them. He examines them because he cares for them. He examines them because he's concerned for their well-being. He examines his sheep. We ought to desire for the shepherd to examine us all the time. There's great comfort in the fact that the shepherd examines his own. Notice in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, in verse 9. We'll look about halfway down in that verse. For the Lord searcheth all hearts. The Lord does not just examine us physically. It goes much deeper. It's a much deeper examination. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. So the Lord, all you and I can see is outward appearance. Now we can make some assumptions, sometimes accurate, sometimes not. But we can make assumptions based upon what we see, but the Lord doesn't look, of course, just on the outward. He looks into the heart. He looks into the thoughts. He looks into the imaginations. We may do something very good outwardly. And the Lord, he examines our heart in doing that. Why did we do it? What was our purpose? What was our thoughts? And though everyone else sees, oh, that was a wonderful thing, the Lord says, no, it wasn't, because I examine the heart and the thoughts. And that can go the other way as well. But again, he examines. Psalm 139, verse 1. Psalm 139. This should be the desire. Or Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me. Thou hast investigated me. He does that just simply by His omniscience. It's not like the Lord has to go digging things up. He just examines us by His omniscience. He knows. And known me. And again, that's what God knows us. That's what makes His grace and His mercy so amazing, because He does know us. In verse 24, or verse 23 and 24, this ought to be our desire. Search me, O God. And the reason we ask God to search us is so that we can know. He already knows. But we ought to want to know ourselves. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. So the rod speaks of Christ examining His sheep. I am glad that the Lord examines you and I, His sheep. It's not always a pleasant thing, but it is a wonderful thing that the Lord cares so much about us that He examines us, reveals to us, and the reason He does that is to fix us, to heal us. Lastly, in Jeremiah 17, verse 10, I am the Lord, I the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And in their mercy intervenes, because God doesn't always give us according to our ways, which we ought to be thankful. That's the mercy of the Lord. So the rod speaks of his authority, his protection and defense of the sheep. It speaks of the fact that he owns the sheep. And it speaks of the fact that he examines the sheep. And we have one more we'll get to next week of what the rod symbolizes. Look to the Lord. A word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the life that you've given us. Most of all, we thank you, Lord, for saving our soul. And we do pray for those here today who are not saved, Lord, that you would reach down and save their soul this day. Lord, we just pray that you would draw us closer to thee. Cause us, Lord, to be more like thee. Help us, Lord, to glorify you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.